Joe Buck, Fillmore Street. This is Spielpod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the upper, the lower Haight in sunny San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 25th of May, 2017. On this date in 1660, Charles II lands in Dover, the invitation of the English Parliament restoring the British monarchy. 1810, the Argentine War of Independence begins when the citizens of Buenos Aires expel Spanish Viceroy Balthazar Hidalgo Cisneros from the city. It's part of a broader movement known as the Latin American Wars of Independence. 1925, Tennessee school teacher John Scopes is convicted for teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. 2000, Israel withdraws its forces from Lebanon. The date is remembered in Lebanon as Liberation Day. Birthdays are Raymond Carver and Amy Klobuchar and Mike Myers. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tapeelpod.com or send us an email at tapeelpod@gmail.com. And the constitutional reform process. Parliamentary Speaker Iraklis Kobakhidze and other members of Parliament opened discussions with the Venice Commission of the Council of Europe. The talks, which are taking place in Berlin, also include representatives of the presidential administration, constitutionalists, and NGO representatives. Speaking to the media, Otsneba leader and Pendejo Mamuka Mdineradze said the party doesn't expect any specific criticism from the Venice Commission, as if they have any idea, which is funny since he was also quoted by Interpress News saying that even if the Venice Commission provides negative feedback about the draft constitution, Otsneba refuses to make any changes based on the Venice Commission opinion. Venice Commission Secretary Thomas Merkert told reporters that the commission has a positive attitude about the constitutional reform process in general, that it thinks a new constitution will be a step forward for Georgia. He's satisfied by the fact that indirect elections of president will come into effect only in 2023, not 2018, and he isn't at all bothered by the proposals for changing parliamentary election procedures, given that the current majoritarian mandates heavily favor incumbents. He did say the country needs to reach a consensus over procedures for electing the president and parliament, however. The Venice Commission will publish its official opinion on the 16th of June. They will be critical. You heard it here first, particularly of the majority unassigned vote hoovering clause. Follow up on the Herbert Salber affair. EU Special Representative for the South Caucasus, who got in hot water last week for congratulating new South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov on his electoral victory, did his best to defuse the situation, not to say backpedal. He reaffirmed that both the European Union and he himself personally stand fully behind Georgia's territorial integrity and do not recognize the election results, despite the congratulations. However, the EU is working towards peaceful resolution of the conflict, and that's why he visited South Ossetia and congratulated Bibilov. Following up on the case surrounding Archpriest Gheorghe Mamaladze, the Archpriest walked out of the Tbilisi City Court in protest on the 19th of May after the court decided to close hearings to the public. After he left, the presiding judge decided the hearings will be postponed until the 30th of May. The judge approved a request by the prosecutor's office, a very cowardly request, by the way, to close hearings to the public on the ground that the hearings concern the private details of many individuals. The decision was disputed by the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, GYLA, which calls it unjustifiable. GYLA also accused the court of violating Mamaladze's presumption of innocence. Travel to and from Georgia senior NATO officials will arrive in Tbilisi on Friday for the NATO Parliamentary Assembly spring session, which will wrap up on Monday. 600 delegates include representatives from 28 NATO member states and 20 non-member partner countries. President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, and Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze will address the session on Monday. It's only the fifth time in history the NATO Parliamentary Assembly has held a session in a non-member country, and it's the first time since 2002. Prime Minister was in Jordan over the weekend for the World Economic Forum, Middle East and North Africa. He met with Federica Mogherini, EU's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. Turkish Prime Minister Binali Yildirim arrived in Tbilisi on Monday with a delegation of cabinet ministers. Yildirim met with the Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze within the format of the High-Level Strategic Cooperation Council of Georgia and Turkey, which launched in 2016. Defense ministers of Azerbaijan and Turkey, Zakir Huseynov and Fikri Ishik respectively met with Defense Minister Levan Izuri in Batumi on Tuesday. They discussed trilateral joint military exercises as well as mutual support for the territorial integrity of Georgia and Azerbaijan. Hasanov and Izuri had a bilateral meeting the day before on the 22nd of May. Finance Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili was in Istanbul on Monday for the annual meeting of the Black Sea Economic Cooperation Organization in Turkey. There he was photographed next to Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, something that was controversial with some opposition politicians and media sources. Kumsishvili denied meeting or speaking with Medvedev at the meeting. They were simply placed next to each other for the group photo. Members of the European Parliament arrived in Tbilisi on Wednesday to meet with Foreign Minister Canalidze. The European Parliament delegation was led by David McAllister, chair of the Committee on Foreign Affairs. They primarily discussed Georgia's implementation of the DCFTA and preparations for the European Partnerships Summit, scheduled for later in the year in Brussels. The delegation also met with President Margvelashvili. Deputy Minister of Economy Gennady Arveladze was in Prague on Wednesday for the Georgia-Czech Republic Business Forum, where he presented on Georgia's ongoing economic reforms and current investment environment. Leaders of the Republican Party and Free Democrats confirmed that they plan to form a bloc to compete together in the municipal election scheduled for October. They're currently working out the details and will make a formal announcement in the coming days. Woohoo! Khatuna Samnidze of the Republican Party confirmed that the two parties have been in talks for several years. Samnidze also said her party is not in talks with any other parties. Nino Gogoadze, the Free Democrats' political secretary, admitted that last year's poor performance in the parliamentary elections made it clear that the party should team up with the Free Democrats. They share similar ideological and foreign policy platforms. Both share a history of opposition to the national movement, kind of. Both parties are members of the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats for Europe, a group of European liberal democratic political parties. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis wrote an official letter to the Georgian Defense Minister Levan Izuri in which he pledges American assistance with Georgian ongoing defense reforms. He also said that while the reforms are difficult, they're necessary for the country's eventual integration into NATO. Mattis closed by reaffirming the strategic partnership between the two countries. Russia and Abkhazia are establishing a new joint law enforcement center, the Information Coordination Center of Internal Affairs Agencies, which will be based in Sukhumi. The new agency is part of the Alliance on Strategic Partnership signed between the two sides in 2014. The center will coordinate the activities of Russian and Abkhaz police, especially in battling organized crime and searching for internationally wanted persons. Or so they say. The center will be wholly financed by the Russian side, but they have been very clear that the personnel decisions will be made jointly by the Russian and Abkhazian ministers of internal affairs, sort of like the leadership of the Abkhaz government. It goes without saying that this is an unwelcome development in Tbilisi, but it's also not so popular with the Abkhaz either. Both politicians and civil society organizations protested against the center after it was announced on the 18th of May. Authorities in Sukhumi responded by issuing a statement declaring that the agreement on establishment of the center is fully in line with the Abkhazian constitution and that any changes to the agreement will have to be ratified by the Abkhazian parliament. The Kremlin appointed a new envoy to South Ossetia, Merat Kulakhmetov. He was formerly the Russian commander of the Joint Peacekeeping Force in South Ossetia from 2004 to 2008. During that time, South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov was under Kulakhmetov's command, serving as deputy commander of the North Ossetian Battalion in the Russian Army. As envoy, Kulakhmetov takes over from Elbrus Kadagiev, who has held the position since 2008 when Russia first recognized South Ossetia as independent. On the 22nd of May, the EU published its official decision to grant visa liberalization to Ukraine after the policy document was signed on the 7th of May by members of the European Parliament and European Council. The visa-free regime will go into effect on the 20th of June. Ukrainian officials have launched criminal investigations into Soviet dictator Yosef Stalin and KGB chief Laurent Tiberia for the mass deportation of Crimean Tatars during the Second World War, which resulted in tens of thousands of deaths. The prosecutor general opened the investigation on the 18th of May, and considering that Stalin and Beria had both been dead for over 60 years, as part of an effort to confront the country's painful past, Justice Minister Pavlo Petrenko called the investigations an attempt at restoration of historical justice. In 1944, Stalin ordered the deportation of about 250,000 Crimean Tatars from Crimea to Siberia on suspicion that some of them had collaborated with Nazi Germany. Members of the ethnic group weren't allowed to return to their homes until the 1980s. Now, the cause is being championed by Ukraine's government and is a point of contention between Ukraine and Russia, particularly because it's been instrumental in the Russification of the Crimea and Russia's claims on it based on the ethnic cleansing. Valery Primakov, a Russian soldier convicted of murdering a family of seven in Armenia in 2015, was transferred from Armenia to Russia last week after Russia signed an agreement pledging to uphold the life sentence previously handed down by an Armenian court. Primakov was first sentenced to 10 years in prison by a Russian military tribunal in 2016, but was handed over to the Armenian authorities after a big public outcry over the life sentence. He was sentenced to life in prison by an Armenian court in 2016. Kvemokartli has a new governor. It's Grigol Nemtsadze, who previously worked as the operations director for JSC Evex before being appointed by the prime minister. Nemtsadze takes over for Pata Khizanashvili, who had served as governor since December 2014. Russian border guards at the administrative boundary line with Abkhazia detained a German tourist who inadvertently crossed the boundary while hiking on the Georgian side. He was picked up in the village of Pichori in Gali municipality. The European Union Monitoring Mission, or EUMM, is working on getting him released. The Interior Ministry announced that it has collected all available evidence for its investigation into the case involving Lasha Tordia and Otar Partskhaladze. According to Tordia, who's head of the state audit office, he was assaulted earlier this month at the El Centro nightclub in Tbilisi by Partskhaladze and his associates. Tordia believes the attack was motivated by the fact that he is investigating Partskhaladze for having illegally received state property. The ministry will review all the evidence and then decide whether charges are warranted against Partskhaladze. If convicted, he could face up to 3 years in prison for assault. The Interior Ministry suspended two Shidakartli patrol officers in connection with a car crash that ended in the death of Beka Khachubia, the son of MP Irakli Khachubia. The two will be suspended until an investigation into the incident is concluded. The car crash happened on the 17th of May in Gori Tunnel. On the 18th of May, a former cop, Zviad Kuprava, spread a rumor on his Facebook page that Khachubia was killed in a police operation. According to eyewitnesses, the patrol officers blocked the exit from the tunnel in order to stop Khachubia, who refused to cooperate with them. Media sources don't know anything more about the case yet. The young man's father, Irakli Khachubia, is Otsneva's majoritarian member of parliament in Poti. He was previously a businessman with ties to the national movement before joining Otsneva last year. Mustafa Emre Çabuk, one of the governors of Demirel College in Tbilisi, a private college founded in 1993 and named after former president of Turkey Süleyman Demirel, was detained on Wednesday and charged with cooperating in a terrorist organization, which is, of course, complete BS. According to his lawyer, Soso Baratashvili, Çabuk is being targeted for his links to the Gulenist movement, which the Turkish government refers to as the Gulenist terrorist organization, or FETÖ. According to Baratashvili, Çabuk was arrested at the request of Turkey's government, and the charges stem from his helping one of the college's founders sell his shares to a company registered in the U.S. and linked to Fethullah Gulen, a man Turkish authorities blame for orchestrating last year's failed coup attempt. According to Baratashvili, the charges are unfounded. Patriarch canceled a ceremony planned for the 40th anniversary of the Patriarch's enthronement, according to a statement posted on the Patriarchate's website. They canceled it due to the current unstable situation in both the world and Georgia. South Korean government gave Georgia five new minibuses as a demonstration of cooperation and goodwill between the two countries. The vehicles, which together cost about $200,000, will be distributed between the central government and the local government in Samegrelo-Zemosvaneti region. In case you haven't noticed, the lari has been slowly but surely gaining strength against the dollar. As of Thursday morning, the official exchange rate was 2.4076 lari per dollar after closing the previous day at 2.4144 lari per dollar. Geostat published statistics on employment and unemployment in 2016. For the year, official unemployment stood at 11.8% and has decreased every year since 2009. However, the percentage of working-age people engaged in economic activity actually fell slightly from 2015 to 16, from 67.8% to 67.5%. Also, the majority of employed Georgians, 57.6%, are self-employed. Not necessarily a great sign. Men are more likely to be unemployed than women, at a rate of 14.2% to 8.8%. Youth unemployment is also a major problem. 30% of people aged 20 to 24 are officially unemployed. Geostat also has a number of external trade, has numbers on external trade during the first 4 months of 2017. Total trade amounted to $3.09 billion, a 17% increase year on year. Exporters were up 30% to $788 million, while imports were up 13% to $2.3 billion. Trade deficit increased slightly. Exports to the EU grew by 33% annually and accounted for 25% of the total. Worldwide, the biggest share of exports came from copper ores and concentrates, while the biggest share of imports was petroleum products. Wine producer Gruz Vinprom signed a 15-year memorandum of cooperation with Jiangxi Silk Road Investment, a major Chinese importer. The two companies will establish a joint venture to sell and promote Georgian wine and other products on the Chinese market. Gruz Vinprom is one of Georgia's largest wine producers, able to produce about 7.2 million bottles per year. It was originally established in 1929 as a state-run company and was purchased by Bolero Company Limited in 2015. Also wine-related, Agriculture Minister Levon Davidashvili said he expects Georgia to start exporting wine to Japan during the next 5 years. Following the success wine exporters have had on the Chinese market, Georgia is now promoting its products in both Japan and South Korea. The airline Wings of Lebanon will start chartering flights between Beirut and Tbilisi and Batumi. The Beirut-Tbilisi flight launches on the 27th of June and will perform twice per week on Tuesday and Friday. The Beirut-Batumi flight launches on the 25th of June and will be performed on Sundays and Wednesdays. Parliamentary news. Parliament voted in favor of a draft law criminalizing the avoidance of conscription. In particular, the bill makes faking illness, harming oneself to avoid conscription, fabricating documents and other forms of deceiving the authorities punishable by a fine or a prison sentence of up to 3 years, depending on the specific crime committed. Irakli Sesiashvili, chair of the Defense and Security Committee, added an explanatory note to the bill saying it's a necessary response to widespread fraud by young men trying to get out of obligatory military service. Many people speculate that the law is a response to the practice by Girici, the non-parliamentary opposition party, to help young men avoid conscription by having them certified as priests. Meme this week is a video by Culture Trip about the Paçhi Pillar, a 131-foot natural stone formation in Imereti that has a 1,000-year-old church built on top. A monk, Maxim Kaftaradze, has lived on top of the pillar since 1993. Social Science in the Caucasus has a guest blog post written by Hans Goodbrod, who looks at air pollution in Tbilisi. Voters care deeply about this issue. In a June 2016 survey by the Caucasus Research and Resource Center, air pollution was the infrastructure problem most likely to be cited by Tbilisi residents. It's also an issue for people of all ages. Now that the public opinion data is well known, voters should push for stronger action against air pollution, and politicians should respond accordingly. Writing for OC Media, Dmitry Statinov covers so-called ghost towns in Abkhazia, places that have been depopulated since the war in the 1990s. He pays particular attention to the village in Upper Kurchal district, Kwaracheli, which were once thriving and multi-ethnic but are now pretty much empty. In 1989, about 43,000 people lived in the district, which is home to a booming coal mining industry. Now the population is only about 16,000. Some villages are totally abandoned. Those that still live in the area are almost exclusively ethnic Abkhaz or Russian. Statinov visits villages of Akarmara, where most of the remaining residential buildings are crumbling with just a few families left living in them. Also at OC Media, Jackie Rousseau has a blog post about sexual assault in Tbilisi, an issue that we all know about, but that still gets too little attention. Rousseau brings up some examples of the commonplace nature of sexual assault and harassment. The real point is this. Men, even well-intentioned men, are woefully ignorant about the problem. In order for Tbilisi, Georgia, and other communities and countries around the world to respond to the problem, men have to face up to how pervasive it is. Igor Torbakov in Eurasianet investigates Russia's disappointment with U.S. President Donald Trump, a man they expected to treat Russia as an equal partner on the international stage. The ongoing scandal surrounding the Trump campaign's dealings with Russian officials and his subsequent firing of FBI Director James Comey have erased any political window of opportunity for Trump to reconcile with Russia, and President Trump clearly hasn't made Russia a high priority. In the words of Konstantin von Eggert, a Russian analyst quoted by the author, Trump has insulted Russia in the worst way possible by ignoring it. The visit of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov to Washington only made matters worse when Lavrov made widely reported jokes about the Comey scandal. Variety recaps episode 3 from season 6 of Veep, which is set in Georgia. In the episode, Selena, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, is sent to Georgia as an election observer. The election is an utter mess, but it's really a satire of American democracy, not Georgian. Selena agrees to go to Georgia in the hopes that this international shit will help her sell her political memoir. She doesn't really care who wins so long as she gets a good photo op out of it. However, the caricature of Georgia is pretty crude. The election is between Nikolai Genidze, a professor of poetry, and President Murman, a brutal dictator who employs torture and death squads. Watch the episode and please let us know what you think. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 205. The height in meters, 673 feet, of Batumi Tower, the tallest building in Georgia. The tallest building in Tbilisi is the Axis Tower, which is currently under construction and edges out the garish Biltmore Hotel by 17 meters. Of the 9 tallest buildings in Georgia, all have been constructed since 2010. Thanks, Vizina. Friday the 26th of May is Independence Day. There are a number of public events taking place around Tbilisi. The dates coincide with the 850-year anniversary of the birth of Shota Rustaveli, and he'll feature in many of the festivities. The big event starts at 12 p.m. in Freedom Square, where recruits of the Georgian Armed Forces will take their oath. At the same time, different events will take place along Rustaveli Avenue. A gala concert will take place at Rose Revolution Square at 9 p.m. Robin Forestier Walker is putting on a fundraiser for Georgians suffering from mental illness, as we mentioned last week. On the 4th of June, he will swim 1.5 miles from Alcatraz in San Francisco to raise awareness about the problem. The money raised will go to 2 Tbilisi-based charities, GCRT and the McLean Association for Children, to help set up new program to raise awareness about mental illness in Georgia. They hope to allocate funds later this year. If you're interested in contributing, search Escape from Alcatraz for Mental Health in Georgia on generosity.com. So far, they've raised a bit under $2,000. It's a very worthy cause. Give them some help. World Rugby Under-20 Championship 2017 will take place in Tbilisi and Kutaisi from the 31st of May to the 18th of June, with the final match taking place at Michal Meschi Stadium. The contestants are England, Ireland, Argentina, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Wales, Scotland, France, Georgia, Italy, and Samoa. It's the second appearance for the junior Lelos, who first qualified for the Under-20 Championship last year. Tbilisi Open Air Music Festival is next month from the 16th to the 18th of June. Tickets are available at ticket.ge. There's a huge number of groups performing for Georgia, Europe, and North America. Aaron Rossman Kiss has redesigned his website, aaronrossmankiss.net. The new site includes a blog, footnotes, which present stories, images, and travel notes from around Europe's boundaries, including Georgia. The site also includes 2 photo exhibitions, Memory United, which is dedicated to the destroyed archives of Abkhazia, and Room in a Wall, which is dedicated to borders, refugees, and migrants. New book on Georgian politics is out, authored by Maria Shagina and published by Columbia University Press. Joining a prestigious club, cooperation with Euro parties and its impact on party development in Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine, 2004 to 2015, looks at the impact of Europeanization on political parties in the three countries. Shagina dives deep into the impact of cooperation on party ideology, organizational structure, and behavior. The results haven't been very positive. In most cases, domestic parties use Europeanization to their own advantage, solidifying the status quo rather than reforming it. Earlier this year, the Krik Brewing Company opened in Samgori in Tbilisi. They're marketing themselves as the first craft beer producer in Georgia. Not sure that's entirely accurate, but they're certainly one of the few. They produce and sell 8 different varieties of beer, everything from a Weiss beer to an Irish dry stout. Anybody who tries Krik beer, let us know what you think. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tpielpod.com. We will finish with, from 1917, just out, from Torbat Ejam, Iran. This is Mose Namju, the Iranian Bob Dylan, with Kurtanidze. By the way, Namju is featured in a new film, Radio Dreams, which is showing in San Francisco right now, and also takes place in San Francisco. It's about half in Farsi and half in English, from what I've heard. I've not seen it. The song talks about the well-known knuckle-dragger and Otsneva MP, Luka Kurtanidze, and is sort of a metaphor for stuff in the region. It's complicated. Ask your Iranian friends. But for those who don't speak Farsi, they're obviously talking about Gurdistan. Here it is.
گرجستانم را پس بده زخ چکن بالا بلندش بگره نقش باز فاتح گنج فاتح من ترکمان شایم را پس بده کرتانیتزه به زیرم فشن قدر قدرت به فشارم دهم کن کرتانیتزه به زیرم فشن فکر فتوه تو هم ای اولگا آیرینا ماریانا فیورنتینا آی گرجس گرجیا خاکم کن گرجس گرجیا فتحم کن گرجس گرجیا خاتون ایالت جورجیا آی خاکم کن گرجس گرجیا فتحم کن گرجس گرجیا خاتون ایالت جورجیا ای تک دلبرم دلبرتر
کمانچایم را گیف میبرد.
فرو کن مرا به سباب دست بزن تیزم کن لهم کنای قبل از آماده باش عباس میرزا به اردویم درای والله که ترکمانچای را من نبستم ندادم من به تو میدهم این همه ایالت قفقاز و آتلانتای جورجیا آی گرجیا گرجس گرجیا خاتون ایالت جورجیا به یک انگوش در خزر فرویم بر باز درار و فرویم بر مثل قصد شهادت قبل از آماده باش شکست خورده عباس میرزا آی روزا روزا روسا روسیه پرد زرنج من همه دوسیه بکن مرا گرجیا خاکم کن به زمینم زن بچلان مرا کرتانیتزه ی اشاق چند رنگ دوباره بنویس مرا ترکمانچایم را گرجستانم را پس بده.